happy to see everybody here today. It's our final Lunch and Learn for this year, and we hope that you've enjoyed our trying to mold your life for the future. Started out with how it's really nice to be old, and then legally what to do about it, and then where to put yourself at the end, and now give yourself the tools to get there as far as making your home environment amenable to transfer. So first, as we always do, we'll have Reverend Ralph pray. Thank you. I will do.
I just would like at first to remind Alicia that we do not use the term old. We are mature. Let us join in prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this time that we can be in your company and each other's. We are thankful for the food we have received, for the hands that have prepared it. And would ask truly in this time together that both in body and spirit we may be strengthened. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I go first, so don't turn yours on yet. Oh. Well, I do want to greet you. Alicia and I have been talking about doing this for a while, but we really want to make this session interactive, especially with a group this size. So you will find on your tables some cards, and you may want to take a few notes just in terms of one or two ideas that you could carry away from this. And then as we get toward the end, we'll ask you to share those ideas a little bit at your table. So my name's Marcia Besh. Been a member of this church not very long, but my husband and I have had the experience of moving 5 times within the last 18 years. So, and Alicia, too, has gone through the experience of moving and downsizing, and we'd like to share some of our experiences. But some of what we'll be saying is, do as we say, not as we do. Because it's a process. It's not, you know, we haven't perfected it, but we've certainly learned some things along the way. So how many of you have downsized with not too distant future? Okay, a small show of hands. How many are in the process of doing that? How many of you know you should be down decluttering? And wanted to emphasize that we're not saying you're going to move next week. We're saying think the long range, but also be thinking about if you're going to stay there in your home, decluttering, making your life simpler. And a big emphasis that Alicia will be talking about especially is the emotional end of it. We know it's stuff and we have to deal with that, but there are all kinds of emotions tied with that. Just sharing a little bit, and I'll talk a little bit later about some of our own experiences, my husband and mine, but two samples that I'm quite familiar with. When my mother died, she had married 3 husbands, had moved a bunch of times, so she really had downsized and decluttered over a number of years. And at the time she died in the hospital, was getting ready to move into a nursing home, and then she died. And her apartment was really quite simple to take care of. I mean, there's still those decisions about who in the family gets what and where things go and that sort of thing. But it was relatively simple. My husband's parents, my dear in-laws, and I love them all dearly, they had lived in their home for 50 years. They were very attached to it. My father-in-law and his father-in-law had built the place, 3 stories. They should have left before they did because the only major bathroom was on the second floor and the washer and dryer were in the basement and so on. So they were kind of enabled because they didn't have any kids there at the time. We didn't live there, neither did Bob's brother. And they were struggling, but they stayed there longer, hung on to it. And they weren't pack rats, I would say. They certainly weren't messy, but they were collect, they kept things. They had trays and trays of slides from trips. They had Christmas cards from years and years ago. They had, you know, drawers full, closets full. The only thing they got rid of were Bob's baseball cards that they should have kept. And his mother loved silver, so she had all these silver pieces. They didn't entertain that often, but she had all these silver pieces and so on. So theirs was a much more difficult place. And we, because we didn't live there and Bob's brother didn't live there, we eventually hired some people to help with that. So anyway, that's kind of who I am, and we'll share more. We have a video to watch, and Alicia will say a little bit of their experience, Roger and hers experience, and then we'll go from there.
Some of you may have heard this before, but when we decided in 2419 that we were going to make a move from our home over by Entrada to Ovation, Ovation was just beginning to be known in the community, and the motivation for that thought was after Roger's severe medical issues, which many of you know about, I would lie awake at night and think, oh my gosh, what am I going to do if something really bad and he kicks off and here I am, and what am I going to do with everything on my own? But we could have a caregiver in here, could live over there in the other bedrooms, and everything would be all, maybe we should stay here, but maybe we shouldn't. And Ovation came as a possibility. There we are. And then our friend said, you're going to do what? But once we made the decision, we ran down the road. Now, as Marcia said, decluttering, choosing to declutter and simplify your life does not mean you have to move. I mean, you can just kind of mise en place, like they say in cooking. You stay in place and deal with what you have, but live a simpler life. So two principles that we found in all of our many times of researching, and there's so much stuff out there. You just go and put a D in, and all this stuff comes up about decluttering and downsizing. But the only sure thing is no matter how set you think you are, your life is going to change. That's just the rule. And also, stuff you think is just going to be wonderful for people, they don't want it. So, but here, I've decided, this is from when I was a kid, and I still love using it today. Just a basic stainless steel fork that I remember using. But I think you should have this and keep it because I like it.
Well, I'm sorry. I really can't accept gifts.
Which is an example, you know, what you think people might just wonderfully want to have just to remember, they don't want it. They don't want it. So we're going to show this video. Her name is Rita Wilkins, and she's a downsizing expert, but she also, her story in the video that we're going to watch is her own personal story about choosing to downsize. And it's one of the TED Talks, if you're familiar with that. So just kind of the principles that she talks about, and maybe you'll see yourself in some of it.
I have a confession to make. When I owned a 5,000 square foot home in the country, I had 11 closets and 9 rolling racks filled with clothes. Can anyone relate? Filled with clothes. And I had convinced myself that having all of this stuff really made me happy. In fact, I was drowning in my big house. My life was spiraling out of control. The big house, the yard, the maintenance, the upkeep, the expense, the time. I saw no way out, and I was afraid. It took a trip to a third world country, 8,000 miles from here, for me to really rethink what mattered in my life. When my son, Kevin, who now lives in the Congo, lived in Senegal, he was serving in the Peace Corps at the time, I went to visit him. And, excuse me, okay, I went to visit him in Senegal, and we took this trip. It was a grueling 24-hour trek via every imaginable mode of transportation. Back of a pickup truck, cars with no working gauges, buses with holes in the floor. And we finally arrived in his little village where we were so warmly greeted by the villagers. I was also humbled by the fact that they had swept the dirt path clean for us. Within a minute, the village elder scooped up a live, scrawny chicken and presented it to us, a gift I knew in my head and my heart was of extreme value. That evening, his African mother prepared a beautiful dinner for 15 people that included that little chicken. And while serving the dinner, she pushed the better part of the chicken toward my son and me. In that moment, I realized these villagers have so few possessions, but they were filled with joy, and I wanted that. Several weeks later, I got on the plane to return home, and I realized how profoundly impacted I was by what I had experienced. Over the next couple of years, I started asking myself these questions that really changed my life. Does my stuff make me happy? If I buy more stuff, will I be happier? What really gives me joy? Why wouldn't I want more of that? And did my life have to continue on this downward spiral? Or could I choose to actually create a life that I loved? After all, for 40 years, as an interior designer, I've been designing other people's lives all over the country. Why not design my own? In December 2015, at a Christmas party in my home, a gentleman asked, "Rita, how much longer are you going to live in this big house by yourself?" I said, "Oh, in 1 year from now, I'm going to be living in a small apartment in Center City, Philadelphia." I have no idea where those words came from. But in that moment, I realized that my words created the future that I would live into. January 2016, I sat on the living room floor of my big home. I looked up and I cried. I had no idea where to begin. So rather than making downsizing a project, which is always harder, I decided to make it a game. So I called family and friends, many of them are here right now, and enrolled them in the possibility of helping me attack just one area of my home at a time for just 4 or 5 hours on a Saturday or Sunday. So week by week, for an entire year, they helped me disperse stuff that I'd collected over many, many years. Downsizing is not without emotions. At one point, I found my father's alarm clock, and I could hear him winding it to get up early to provide for our family. As my relationship to stuff changed, the process got easier and easier. And what I realized was, things didn't make me happy. (Clears throat) a year later, here I am, Center City, Philadelphia, my beautiful little jewel box apartment. I moved from my 5,000 square foot home in the country to 867 square feet in Center City. I gave away 95% of my possessions to people who needed them or wanted them. And I'm living on 5% of what I once owned. I have all I want and all I need. And I've never been happier. I'm living that simple, joy-filled life that I experienced in Senegal. I'm living in alignment with what matters most to me. More time with family and friends. More resources, more freedom to travel, to learn, to actually live the life that I designed for myself. A ripple effect of downsizing is that I also downsized my company's work week for a better work-life balance. We now work 3 days, and we play 4. And, why didn't I do that sooner? And we actually grew the company by 27% last quarter. So why might you choose to live with less so you can live more? My challenge to you is to, with your mind and with your heart, think of possibility and ask yourself these simple questions. Is there an area of your life that is totally out of control? Are you willing to disrupt that part of your life that's preventing you from living more? And what's one thing that you will do today to begin living the life that you love? Thank you. I have a confession to make. When I owned a 5,000...
If you wish to hear more from her, just, again, Google her name, Rita Wilkins, and she has many different videos, like 5 tips for decluttering, and you know, she's just kind of an interesting lady. One of the things she did say is that it's such an emotional process, and it surely is, to make the decision to start. And, you know, there's so many memories, you know, attached to your things. And I found, well, Roger used to go to Switch Point. He didn't even have to give his name. They'd say, hi, Roger, and go and unload the car. So it was very freeing. Once you get the hang of it, you know, you get pretty good at it. And you just kind of, what I actually physically did, I would choose even the antique crystal cream and sugar we got for our wedding 60-plus years ago. I gave it a kiss. I took a picture of it, and I put it in the car. And that became, and it's amazing, Alfred. You ever know when you go on vacation, and you're sitting there where, however long, or at a friend's, and all you have is what's in your suitcase. And you don't have to clean, you don't have to, you know, move stuff around, you don't have to look at it, you don't have to think about it, but it's so freeing, and that's sort of what happens when you decide to get rid of some stuff. Some of the things will be sentimental, which is for sure, and you should keep them. Don't get rid of them, but don't foist them on other people. I'm just going to... I'm going to send you a little cartoon around, but first, talk about motivation. And she hit on it, too, there. One thing that we found, as far as the question, should I stay where I am? Statistically, it's surprising, but the age when most people start to think about decluttering is 50 and 60 years of age. And that's when you need to do it. I mean, we wouldn't have the energy now, 4 years later, to do what we did in 2019. You need to do it when you've got, it's like any of the things we've been talking about this year. One of the reasons, the thoughts that you might have if you own your own home, they say if your expenses, your monthly expenses exceed 30% of your income, then it's time to make a change. And that's when she said, you know, this big house, whatever. One thing that might prompt a move are lifestyle changes. You've decided to live a different style. Your family dynamic has changed. For financial reasons, like I just said, the maintenance has gotten too much. The space is too big. Really, how much space do you use in your home today? A couple rooms. The accessibility, maybe your physical needs have changed and you need better accessibility. Or family dynamics in other forms. So research a desired location to see what you might need. It doesn't always mean going into a facility. You can downsize to an apartment. You can choose to make over your own house in some way. Get an appraisal. Know what you're dealing with. And then survey your thoughts about it. Be really sure. I mean, everybody thinks about this. There's one family I read about here. They raised their kids on this property, and now their kids are grown, so they decided to sell. Of course, the property's for sale for $100 million, but you see, there's no age limit to thinking, I need to make a change. So Marcia's going to tell you how to do it. Oh, yes. Give me just a minute. I'm going to just put this around. There's one for every table. Here. It's in my pocket. I forgot to say, yeah, and I think Marcia mentioned too, don't forget the storage unit, which you can see. Yeah. And the garage.
I too live my husband and I live at Ovation, but we even have a smaller space than Alicia and Roger are in, a villa. They have a garage, an actual laundry room that has some storage. We have a laundry closet. So we went through a few more challenges, and we too had big houses and seemed daunting. But as Alicia also said, it really is freeing. You don't have as much to take care of. You don't have as much to clean. You don't have as much to keep track of. You don't even worry quite so much if you're going to get broken into and somebody is going to take some of those things. I sometimes suggest to people that they pretend they're going to move, even if they aren't, and use that as a little impetus. And again, that emphasis on doing it while you can, while you have the physical and emotional, your kids will thank you. And we don't have kids, but we don't have kids at all. And our nieces and nephews and so on are 1,200 miles away. We don't want to burden them with having to go through, or our friends who are mostly our age too, and so on, to burden them with going through that process. You may want to devise a plan room by room, or if that's too overwhelming, Chris said his garage is his issue, especially one shelf in the garage, or your medicine cabinet. Oh. Hitting home on some of these points. Perhaps your junk drawer. Your junk drawers, plural. And while we talk about getting rid of things, it's sometimes wise to buy a few organizers for your junk drawer. Or when we were selling a home, the real estate agent said, I suggest you go out to the Dollar Tree or wherever and buy a few of those small bins to put in the laundry room, to put in your closet to hold things and so on. One, it helps make the people looking at your house think you're more of a neatnik, and also it hides some of that clutter and so on, and then it also makes moving easier because you can just pick up those and put in a bigger box. Think about setting a timeline. You know, if you're moving, you often have a time you have to be out of there, but you may want to think about, well, set a goal. A year from now, I'm going to have gone through everything and gotten rid of lots of things. One of the things to think about is, as you go through things, where did this come from? I didn't even know I had it. You know, when we moved from Wisconsin, we had bins in our storage that we hadn't opened in the 11 years we had been there. Why would we move those from Wisconsin to Utah? Plus, you know, when you move that distance, you're paying some to have those move. Think about don't do it all at once, especially our age. You don't want to work 12 hours doing that. Set aside an hour a day or 2 hours a day or even a half hour at a time and kind of stick to that as much as possible. Some people say start with the easier decisions. There are sometimes like those bins that we had for 10 years. We went through them, but we gave a few things to nieces and nephews. But for the most part, we took them somewhere else, either to sell or to charitable organizations or whatever. Speaking of getting rid of things, as Alicia did with Marilyn, some kids, like our goddaughter, said, "Oh, sure, I'll take your wedding dishes." I don't know if she's ever used them, but at least, you know, she at least took them. And then we took some things that were family heirlooms, but we really didn't ever use them or whatever. We took them to an antique store in Stillwater, Minnesota, which is famous for its antiques and lots of stores, lots of customers from the Twin Cities. And he said, I know it's worth more. I'd like to give you more for it, but young people don't want it. They either have it already from their parents or whatever. If it doesn't go in the dishwasher, you know, if it has gold rim around it or whatever, and most of them don't entertain that way. We certainly don't anymore. So, you know, those are things to think about. Especially in the kitchen, think about duplicates. Do I really need, as I did my little blurb in church, 4 Corningware little casseroles? Do I really need 3 frying pans? We don't even cook anymore because we get our food and then we have leftovers or we go out or whatever. We hardly ever cook. And then you also can think about, well, if I give it away, for instance, we were having a barbecue Sunday night at our complex, and one woman came and borrowed our big pot. She said, I gave that away, but I need to make a big helping or a big serving of potato salad. Do you have a pot I can borrow? And she had done that once before. So a lot of times you can coordinate and you don't have to you use it only once. And think about those little appliances that count up. We kept a mixer, which I haven't used for a year and a half, a food processor, an oven, but we had a lot of other things too, a crock pot, but we had a lot of other things too. At one point we had Instapot. No, we hadn't even taken it out of the box. We took lessons at Harmon's. We still didn't use it. So I did sell that for as much as we originally purchased. One thing you can do is not get rid of, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. For instance, if you have a set of 12 dishes or 8 dishes, think of keeping 4. Will you ever again have a dinner party where you'll use a set of 12? So, and even, you know, and then use them yourself if you still just have those 4 left. And how about outdated foods and spices? You know, food shelves will sometimes put out things that, and you can go through, and, you know, if it's a little bit expired, most of the time they say it's okay, unless it's something that really spoils fast. But I saw a movie one time where young women had a contest of going to their mother's cupboards and finding the oldest spice that was on the mother's shelf. And spices, you know, they say expire, and they do, but, you know, if it's 20 years old, you probably don't want it around. I think it was like 20 years old that was the one that won the prize. There you go. Yes. Yeah, so it's collectible, yes. Yeah, consider keeping what you love. rather than by price or the person that gave it to you. Now, Alicia talked, you know, there are a few sentimental things, but can we pick up something in that it's everything sentimental? Maybe if you have a whole collection, again, you downsize the collection and keep three or four, take pictures of the other, and then, you know, it might be worth some money, or it certainly could might be something that somebody else would enjoy more than what you have in a cupboard. My in-laws had this whole collection of Hummels, and then Hummels took a dive because they mass-produced them. And they didn't ever have room to display them all. They were in bins, and they had a few out. So, you know, think about downsizing some of those collections. And sometimes we hang on to something because it costs so much. Well, no, at a certain point, is that worth hauling, especially if you're moving, paying for the mover to haul it? Sometimes I was thinking as I was doing it, preparing, sometimes it's how much time was put into it. Maybe it didn't cost so much, but that Afghan took so much time for somebody to knit. Do we really want to get rid of that? But will you have room in your linen closet for six Afghans and five blankets that you don't even have, let alone the ones that are already on your bed? Pictures are a huge thing. Photographs. One of the things that I did, we have eight nieces, nephews, and two godkids. So I made 10 piles. And back in the time, especially when you used to get duplicates when you had them, so I kept a few. And that was one thing, I didn't give them a choice. I just put them in the envelopes, mailed them off. If they throw them away, that's up to them. But I made 10 piles, ones related to them, and then put them in envelopes, and, because they didn't live near us either at the time, and sent them off. And then I started going through our own pictures and the ones that we had from family. I got rid of those pictures where nobody had put on the back, and I'm guilty of that, who they were, you know, or just pure scenery, that there were 50 photographs from the same trip of scenery. So really judiciously, you know, pared down the photographs. Then sometimes they've been, talking about labor, they've been carefully put in albums. Albums take a lot of room. They're also heavy. So other than our wedding album, I don't have any albums anymore. You know, I pulled the key ones out of there. I still need to go back and write on the back, you know, of them. So again, this is process, not final product. Pictures, of course, can be digitalized, you know, so that some people have done that. And then they also can be, perhaps a few made into a window box, or get the frames that have multiple pictures and so on. So the ones that are particularly precious to you. Another thing to think about that doesn't take up a lot of space is what's on our phones and what's on our computers. I need to go through, for instance, and take out all those people that I, now who is this person, you know, in my directory, and clean all the emails that I don't need anymore, and all the files from that pared down. Because if somebody has to go through those later on, you know, maybe there are a few things you want them to be able to have access to, but you don't want them to have to go through hundreds. Then we talked a little bit about collections, saving your favorites, and again, taking photographs, especially if it's large things. I have, we have good friends that he's a Jimmy Buffett fan. He has, I think, 56 Jimmy Buffett t-shirts. He used to follow, used to go to concerts around the country and so on. When they were here shortly after Jimmy Buffett died, he wore a different one every day. But he probably doesn't need 56 of them. No. Books are another challenge. think about, will I ever read this again? Do I want to keep this one because I dip into it periodically? Books are one of the heaviest things to move other than furniture. And there are places that take books. Now, we're pretty well stocked over the shelves over here. But the libraries, often have used book areas. And we're giving you a list, by the way, a handout before you leave of places to donate things, et cetera. But, you know, that's one thing, you know, in terms of goal. Take a shelf of your bookcase and go through those and think about, do I still need or want this book? Then close. As we were getting ready for this, and as Alicia said, there's a lot of material out there in terms of helping you do this process. We had to really narrow it down. One suggestion was the 90-day rule. If I haven't worn it in 90 days, and in this climate, you probably have to stretch it out because you're starting in April. You're still maybe wearing that in October in this warmer climate. And there are certainly things like the ugly sweater for Christmas time, for Ralph's ugly sweater that you haven't worn in the last 90 days, but you may want to keep it, or that Christmas tie or whatever. I keep one outfit to wear to funerals and weddings, and I may not have done that in the 90 days, particular here. If I'm working in the kitchen, I don't wear my funeral outfit. But, you know, so... You know, there are limits to that, but think about clothing. And there's that, oh, I'll probably wear it someday. Or especially that, oh, I'll probably fit into that again someday. So something to consider is going, do I really need 5 green sweaters? And then really strongly consider need and want. Even as I, you know, this time of the year, you get a lot of catalogs and, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have that top or that scarf or whatever. Do I really need it? Probably not. And there are places, certainly, on our list that are very glad to take clothing. And then, you know, think about somebody else who needs it more than you do can make use of it. Some have suggested create yes and no piles. And then don't go through that. Yes, to get rid of, no, to keep. But think about not going back too often to that pile you're going to get rid of. In all the downsizing we've done, I think there are 4 things that I wish I had kept. Probably the one that's the hardest to replace was a coffee set, a coffee pot creamer sugar tray. It was a wedding gift, and it was from my father's side of the family. And we really don't have any relatives that we're aware of on that side of the family. And that's something I wish I had kept. A couple other things, a basket for Christmas cards. Well, that's easy to replace, you know, that kind of thing. So, but there are very few other things that I say, oh, I wish we had kept that. Oh, we really need that. Why did we give it away? Oh, tools. I don't deal with the tools, but my husband had like 6 toolboxes when we moved one time. Again, heavy. And that sounds familiar too. And then he'll give them away. Oh, I should have kept that, but not very often, especially now where we live, because now we just call up Dale and Dale comes and fixes things for us. We have a whole list of for you of places to donate and consignment shops and garage sales and so on. Shredding documents, that's a critical kind of thing to do. Most of us have paper that piles up, if not for the last year or for the last 10 years or so. We didn't try to give, there are certainly guidelines in how long you need to keep tax returns and all that kind of thing. And you can get that information. But we're giving you information on shredding services. You can take, if you can carry it out of your house, you can, you can buy a shredder, but we burned one of them out and then realized it was, a daunting task to do that. And you can go, there are Staples and steamroller and so on that will take materials for a small fee. But they also, if you really have a challenge, you can have them come to your house and haul it out of there. Do accept help. Sometimes that's hard because it's hard for somebody to decide what you can keep and what you want to keep and what you can't. You remember Sandy and Alan, especially Sandy. They came to our, when we moved to an apartment temporarily here before we moved to Ovation, they came with a friend, and they had, Sandy had everything on the shelves in a few hours' time. So, and it was just so comforting to have our kitchen organized at that point. So sometimes we're, I can do it. But accepting help is a good thing. A little bit of, we both are guilty of this next one, avoiding off-site storage if possible. They say 1 out of 10 people currently rent an off-site storage unit. The business is booming. We have a woman in our at Ovation that owns 2 of them in town. She said they are, one up here, one on the south side, she said as soon as they built them, they were full because there's such a demand. Now, we've downsized our storage unit. We went from a bigger one to a smaller one, and I use the excuse that our closets are so small, and they are where we are, that we really still need that. But we could probably get by, certainly, with even less in that storage. And they're, you know, they cost some money, too. So the more you can avoid or try to have it fit in a smaller unit and so on, the better. So, again, as Alicia was pointing out, it is an emotional process. It isn't an easy thing to do, either physically or emotionally, but it is a satisfying thing in the end. And it's kind of a freeing, okay, I don't have all that stuff to take care of, or somebody else doesn't have to do it, or now I don't have to dust it, or whatever. So think about those considerations. Let's open it up to, you want to add a few things, Alicia? Anything that, suggestions from you folks that we haven't talked about? Yes.
But being able to go to one room, into another room, to another room.
Not a whole lot. You know, we have a 2-bedroom one, and we have room for a desk in the living room. I do have a friend in Wisconsin that went to a really small unit, and she likes to bake. And so she put her bought a small freezer and put it in the living room. She said, well, it was important to me to be able to make Christmas cookies and freeze them, and so, you know, I put a tablecloth over it the rest of the time, and, you know, so you adjust. You know, there are a few, you know, once in a while, and one thing, we seldom, if ever, we really don't have people stay with us anymore, which isn't all bad. At Ovation, there are guest suites. We have a special deal up at the hotel, an Ovation discount at the Best Western just up the street from us. When our my niece and her husband and 3 rambunctious boys came in a house, we would have had them stay with us, and we would have been exhausted by the time they left. So then, you know, we rented the space up at the hotel. And the boys loved the pool and the hot tub, and we all had a great time. So, you know, a little bit, sometimes it's nice to have that space, but you can certainly even pay for a hotel room once in a while over managing a huge house for those visitors that come once in a while. Most of them are, most appraisers don't buy it themselves.
They don't buy it on behalf of them.
No, they'll appraise. They'll tell you how much something is worth. My sister-in-law used to do that. She was a real estate agent and an appraiser. And then she also was a get rid of, you know, help people get rid of things, the sales. And she would, for a fee, come and appraise things. And especially for an estate sale kind of thing, to know how much to price things and so on. But I don't think there are too many. There might be some out there, I'm not aware, that would come in and appraise it and buy it. Mary maybe knows. There are a lot of, there's some consignment stores, but they won't take everything. They want you to send a picture, and will they take it or not? And I had a friend that they said, oh, nobody will buy that maple set, and then she put it online and sold it that way. So, you know, they can be, they can be selective. And that is a way to do it on eBay or Marketplace on Facebook or Nextdoor on, you know, the people in the communities. We sold quite a few things on Nextdoor. Sell it again, Sally. Yeah.
And the,
Other comments, questions, experiences? Oh yeah. It's a business. And there's got. Yes, they do. When we left Wisconsin, we had a large house there, and the people that bought the house first said, well, we'll take all the furniture that you want to leave behind, you know, the up north dishes with the moose on and that sort of thing that didn't fit very well in the desert. And then, but they really didn't want to pay anything for it. And so a month before they backed out, when we had to be out. So thank goodness we found our real estate agent. And real estate agents, you know, are very good at that kind of thing. As in move-in people like Ovation and so on, you know, there are people to ask. Our real estate agent hooked us up with a woman that did online auctions. And so she came in. We didn't have to haul everything out to her place, or she didn't have to come. She came in and took pictures of what we wanted to sell, took group things, and then it was online, allowed one day when people could come in and look at it. So it wasn't like a auction where you had to put everything out in your yard or anything like that. And things, everything sold except one huge oak shelves TV entertainment center kind of thing. And the person bid $2 on it and got it and then didn't even come to pick it up. But they didn't want it because it was the part for the TV wasn't big enough. You know, it was when we had smaller TVs. So some of those things that you think are worth a lot of money in the end aren't necessarily.
I think one of the big considerations questions about downsizing is obviously financial. We don't know how long we're going to live. And so, you know, you're trying to figure out, if I make this decision, what's going to happen if I live to be 100 years old? Am I still going to be able to afford that decision? So there's no real good answer to that. I mean, a good financial planner or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think that's one of the major considerations
sure.
that people face on downsizing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I was left with, which was horrible, was a Nordic Track thing. And I finally persuaded someone to think it was a dollar.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the, and then they want to bargain. Will you take 50 cents?
Yes, I will.
Yeah. A lot of it is just, at a certain point, is just take it, move it, get it out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff sale. Stuff sale. Mm-hmm.
Marge?
Coming back. Good advice. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real possible. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Alicia and I have had the experience of moving, but when you think of everything that is included, especially if you can't drive anymore. You know, the transportation, we have transportation provided 7 days a week. The only utilities we pay are our telephone. Everything else is included. We don't have to pay for a handyman. We don't have to pay for internet service. We don't have to pay for food. Food is pretty much included as part. You know, so much less insurance because we get renter's insurance rather than household insurance. No property tax. I mean, it's folded in, but yeah. So sometimes if you start adding up, and then especially if you have to repair the roof or your furnace goes out or, you know, all that kind of thing. Yeah. 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 So if you start adding all those things up, but everybody has to make those decisions for themselves and your own finances and so on. Yes. Alicia.
One thing in all of this is look at your house with a critical eye. Did you ever bring something into your house and you put it there and you say, well, I'll put that away later, and a week later it's still there, and a week later, I mean, you assimilate that into your landscape and it's just kind of there and you never deal with it. So one day you walk out of your house and you come in as a stranger and you look around. I've had to do this because I'm Roger's the thrower outer and I'm the saver. So yeah, you really need, now if I'm, you know, Molly Jane, my good friend, when she comes in here, what does she see? You know, or what does, you know, my cousin George, when he comes, what does he see? And start there. So don't be hard on yourself. Start small. Give yourself a little break, a little, add a boy or add a girl if you can even get rid of one thing. As I said, it does get easier. It does get easier once you start. And, I'm never cured. I mean, I've been there 4 years and it's time to start again, so I must confess. You're never cured. We have some handouts for you, and on the bottom of the first page, first of all, on the second page about where to take things, I forgot to add Catholic Charities. They take clothing, and so, and it's not a lot of things. I didn't give phone numbers for. You can just look it up, but just in general, and it's not maybe as specific as you might wish, like even talking about estate sales. I just mentioned that's available, but you can just look it up in estate sales and people, come up. So the first page is important things to ask yourself before you declutter. And at the bottom, there's a little something from this book here that was my Bible. It was given to me by actually the person, one of the people at Ovation, but about this woman downsizing her parents' house, but just takes you through the whole most emotional and actual physical steps. But it's put out by AARP. And one of the last paragraphs that's written in the book is, "So, my friends, keep what you love and what nurtures you. Hold dear your memories along with a few treasures from those who loved you and whom you loved. Leave a few treasures for those you love to remember you by, but do so judiciously. Beyond that, live well, love deeply, and hold on to a heartful, not a houseful, of memories. And that will be plenty, I promise."